Welcome to Aware. We are dedicated to communicating information that inspires your positive growth and change. Are you interested in a peaceful planet? Are you interested in optimal health? Are you living with purpose? Are you enjoying your life? We realize each person can make a difference, and our mission is to empower your awareness. The choices that you make in every moment shape your life, and we encourage you to realize that you have your own answers and to always listen to your own truth. We invite you to stay aware. Hello and welcome to The Aware Show. I am Lisa Garr, and it's such a true joy and a privilege to be here with you today. Thank you so much for joining me in this creative Aware Show where we get to communicate messages that inspire positive growth and change. You, by the way, can check out my website, which is theawareshow.com, which will show you all of the great places that we broadcast transformational content, Hay House Radio and Gaia TV and Coast to Coast, all sorts of great places, and KPFK and WBAI. So really appreciate you joining us there to see what else we're up to and other great people we're speaking with every single day. So you've heard this well-worn adage, the only constant in life is change. I've personally had this goal this year of, it's a theme that's been running through my whole year. If you want to create a different result, you've got to try something different. Well, easier said than done, from my personal experience. We know there's going to be change. We know there's going to be disruption. It's a big word these days. We know that there's going to be lots of friction, chaos, uncertainty. That is actually consistent. So if we know this is going to happen, why are we constantly shocked by it when it does happen? And yes, these things are shocking. Job losses, loss of a loved one, an accident, anything like that changes our lives. And we need tools that can help us navigate through this level of uncertainty. My guest today, Tama Keeves, is very familiar with this. She calls it thriving through uncertainty, and that's actually the name of her book. And I like that she changes the word thriving, because it's a, as she explains in the book, it's a verb. It's an action. Make action towards moving beyond fear and the unknown and making change work for you. Welcome to the show, Tama. Thanks for joining me.
I am so glad to be here and so honored.
Cool. Well, you have quite the story, my friend. Might be a great author now and doing all these fantastic things, but you have a Harvard Law School degree, graduated with honors, smart cookie. Went after the whole lawyer experience. we'll touch on that. Tell me about that. Tell me about why you went to law school and what motivated you to do that.
Well, actually, I mean, that can jump right on into the thriving through uncertainty, if you like. I mean, just because I grew up in a family that, you know, like you avoid uncertainty at all costs, right? You know, like security is everything. And when I was younger, I wanted to write. That was my dream. I knew that I loved writing, and I took creative writing in high school. But I grew up in Brooklyn, New York, to an Orthodox Jewish family. Mm. And if you said you wanted to write, that was like saying, you know, you want to sell meth or something, you know, just not an okay thing. And my mother said something like, you're going to write? You're going to write? You are going to starve. You're going to write. And that was the encouragement I got for that dream. And so I went off to law school because that's what you do. You know, like I had three options, become a doctor, become a lawyer, or marry one. And,
right.
You know, and so I went off to law school. I got accepted to Harvard Law School.
Amazing.
I graduated with honors from Harvard Law School.
I'm sure they were very happy.
And they were very happy. They were bragging in every synagogue for all they were worth. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think there are a lot of people out there that probably can relate a little bit to my story where you end up on some kind of track and you think you're being successful or you're doing what other people tell you is the right life and you feel empty and you feel, you know, like something's really, really wrong or doesn't feel good. And I know that when we're not living our calling, our deepest desires, our deepest dreams, it's supposed to feel bad. And so that's what happened to me. I started getting more and more depressed. And thank God a friend of mine at the time said something amazing. He said, you know, think about it. If you've been this successful doing something you don't even love, what could you do with what you love?
That's and a good point.
Wasn't that a great, you know, that actually became the basis of my first book, This Time I Dance. And but that saying for me, really, it was logical. And I thought, you know what, you get one lifetime, so far as I know. I want to know where this goes if I dared to follow my dream or something inside me. And so I left everything. I left everything without a plan. I left everything without money. Everybody always thinks you're rich because you're a lawyer, you know, but not if you were spending money because you're miserable. You know, so I'm queen of uncertainty. You know, like I have full expertise in how to live an uncertain life.
In
so
uncertainty.
That really is what began my journey long ago and far away and still going on.
Well, tell me, you said something at the beginning about you had a lot of uncertainty in your upbringing.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, I think anybody that, you know, you don't get validation or you don't get seen for who you really are, and I think a lot of cultures are like this, and education is like this, and the media is like this. You know, we are being given messages constantly, negative messages constantly, and we're not told they're negative. We're told they're practical. We're told they're good judgment. We're told they're for our own good. We're told that stay safe, be reasonable, be practical. You know, my mother said something like, you know, what you can write, you know, just get a job. You know, you'll write on Sundays, you know, very practical. Reasonable plan. And I think we all learn this. We learn to stay safe, be practical, be reasonable. And I deeply believe an inspired life is very unreasonable.
Yes.
And it's the deepest safety, and it's gorgeous. And I believe that we are living, as you so eloquently said, we are so living in uncertain times and disruptive times, and I call them wild inspired times. And I deeply believe that each of us has wild inspired answers within us.
Well,
you know,
nice
and it's
reframe.
Really learning, exactly. It's really pushing us because all the old ways aren't working now.
Mm-hmm.
They're falling apart now. And you might feel scared and you might feel like you're broken, but I think we're breaking away from our old identities and we're learning these new, incredible, inspired powers in each of us. And it's scary and it's fantastic and it's scary and it's fantastic.
Wow, I've never looked at instability as creative, but I'm willing to, and I think that would help a lot. But I wanted to find out if when you really took that leap to leave your law practice where you were in practice, I mean, you not only went to law school and then you got hired as a lawyer, how do you leave all of that stability and the fact that you got a job out of law school and your family's discontent with that? How did you turn all of that around?
You know, and a lot of people have asked me that, and a lot of people have said to me, oh, my God, you're so courageous. I could never be that courageous. And for me, in all honesty, it wasn't courage. I mean, it is courage, of course, but it was also desperation. It was just desperation. You know, like I think most of us, we make our radical changes when we're in enough pain. You know,
mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to hold on to those things. I mean, it was very prestigious. You know, I was on partnership track. It looked good. I had validation.
You had money.
Money, you know, everything you're supposed to have. But I was so unhappy because, again, you know, many of us are killing ourselves. We're spending all of our time and our energy in lives that maybe aren't really our real lives. And we're trying to sustain it and working so hard to do what's not really natural to us and fighting down what really is natural to us. And I think for me, it just got to a level of pain and at that point, depression, you know, of like, I truly got to a place of thinking, I'm not sure I even want to be here anymore, you know, because if I, quote, have success and supposedly I'm on the top of the game, supposedly, and I still don't feel okay, there's something wrong with me, you know, and I didn't know then, I didn't know then that it was like, no, there's something right with you. There was some hunger in me and some calling in me, and I was meant for the work I do now, and I was meant for this life, and there was something so big in me to do. And I think there is in many people, you know, like there's so much love in all of us to give, and there's so much creativity in all of us. And if we're not in our right life, it hurts, you know, and when it hurts enough, we'll do something.
And I mean, that is, again, easier to say now since you're on the other side of it. But what was your first step? Did you tell your boss?
Oh, I was terrified. I mean, let's not have no illusions here.
Yeah.
that I had some kind of grand faith or peace of mind and I was some Zen guru. Hell no.
Right.
In fact, you are meeting me 4 books later, right?
Uh-huh.
And every one of my books is about this transition because I'm still processing it.
Yeah, I'd love to know a little bit about that book. That sound of that book is so great. When I Dance, or This Time I Dance.
This Time I Dance, Creating the Work You Love, you know, and that was really all about just walking out of everything and deciding to be that creative person and becoming a writer.
Okay, so what did you do? You tell your boss,
so
hi.
My first step, I mean, just literally was I just decided that I was going to give myself some kind of time in my life to explore. And actually, Thriving Through Uncertainty, my new book, is a lot about this also, because I covered it more deeply even in Thriving Through Uncertainty, because I noticed that, like, so many of my coaching clients go through this. Like, this is the scariest part, you know, like not knowing exactly what you're going to do, not having the plan, being in that uncertainty. And so I wanted to mine down a little deeper into it about, so to answer your question, I gave notice and I decided you get one life. I just want to see what happens. You know, I made little deals with myself. I told me I'm only going to take like 3 months off and then see how I feel. And, you know, and then 3 months became 6 months, which became a year, and it's many years later. Mm-hmm. But the other thing I did that's very unconventional, is I got a job waiting tables. I got a job waiting tables because I wanted to do something like crazy that I'd never done before. I wanted an adventure. I wanted what I called a dropout job, or something that would pay some bills, would not be the high level of stress or responsibility I had as an attorney. And I knew that I wanted to explore my real life. I knew that I wanted to explore if it was writing or what else it was. And I knew that I wanted to give that time. And so, like, when I'm coaching other people, that's the main thing I'm always telling them, is that I want your real life to have time and space. I don't want to put pressure on it to make money right away and to monetize it and blog about it right away and, you know, all of that. I want to give it some time and space, because so much of what this path really is not so much what we do, it's what we undo. It's about undoing the beliefs and undoing the limitations and undoing the blocks. I had so many fears and I had so many blocks. I mean, I didn't trust the universe. I didn't even know what the hell a universe was.
Interesting. So, yeah, you weren't on this personal development
train. I was not on that path, but I'll tell you what, you become on that path pretty damn quick.
I'm just curious.
When you start facing uncertainty.
I mean, you walk away from this job as an attorney and become a waitress. What does your, I mean, not that waitressing is bad, but usually waitresses would want the opposite, you know, to go
exactly.
And create
everybody
something else.
Everybody looked at me like I was nuts. My mother would call me everywhere. You're serving nachos? You're serving nachos with a Harvard law degree?
All of this money that they spent on this, you know, education.
Yeah.
I'm sure you heard about it.
Yes. But, you know, one of the things, and I work with a lot of professional clients, you know, in my coaching practice, I work with a lot of artists and entrepreneurs and leaders and other lawyers and professions who want to do something different or do it differently. And one of the things I often say is that, you know, I pursued a path of higher education because I wanted to increase my opportunities, not to limit them. And we get into this mindset that, well, now you're a lawyer or a doctor, or you make a certain amount of money in something, or now you're a wife, or now you're a mother, or whatever it is. We have it in our head that we're this kind of identity. We can't do that. We can't do this other thing. It's too late, or you can't just do that. And I just wanted to explore my life. I wanted to have this adventure. And for me, it wasn't even just that I'm so adventurous or anything. I wanted to follow my inner voice. I wanted to learn how to trust my own guidance and see where it would take me. And I am forever grateful that I did. You know, like I affect tens of thousands of human other people now who have bought books and write to me and, you know, and go to workshops and seminars and retreats. And it's like, I'm forever grateful that I've trusted that voice, and I'm still on that path of trusting it, still learning it.
You must be, yeah. And maybe you have that archetype that you are the adventurer and not afraid to try new things. But
oh, God, no, that's so not me, though.
Interesting.
Because I am Jewish. So, you know, like, because people always think, oh, Tammy, you'd love this, spelunking or skydiving. It's like, are you out of your freaking mind? I'm Jewish. I'm neurotic as hell.
But I love you.
I'm mentally adventurous.
But you also know what it does for you. New things. The brain loves it. Creates new chemistry.
Yes.
It creates clarity. You find out what you like and what you don't like. All these different things. So, what advice now that you are a success coach, mm-hmm. which is incredible? How did you get into that? How did you really get into coaching other people?
You know, like everything I did, and in Thriving Through Uncertainty, I tell some of this story of, I call it like following a breadcrumb path, you know, following the breadcrumbs, because nothing I did was, you know, like some plan. One of the other things I teach all my clients is that you cannot plan an inspired life. You're not going to plan this. You're not going to figure this out. You're not going to make it happen. You're going to follow that breadcrumb and then the next breadcrumb and then the next breadcrumb. So the very short, I'm going to try to shorten this version, when I left law, you know, I decided to start writing. And, you know, by the way, I started writing and you may find that you're like guided to do something that your brain goes, no, not that. That's not lucrative. Please don't make me do that. You know, and so like I felt guided to write poetry in the beginning, and it was like, oh God, please not that. But I don't even read those books. Please don't make me do this. And, but I always say you don't get to choose what you love. It chooses you. You do not get to choose what you love. You can fight and fight and fight against it, but you don't get to choose what it is. You get to choose whether or not you do it. And so so what ended up happening is I was writing these poems, and I found myself writing poems about career transition because I was scared out of my mind, and I was reading all these self-help books, you know, and I'm reading 8 Easy Steps and 30 Days to Your New Life, you know, and it'd be 80 freaking days later, I'd have the same life, and I'd think, oh, my God, I'm failing self-help, like, oh, my God, I'm doomed. And so I started writing these essays, these poetic essays about how do you stay inspired when you are scared out of your mind.
Right.
And then I realized, oh, I think I'm writing a book. And when I started writing the book, I realized I wanted to be around other supportive, creative people. So I started like a support group, and then people started saying, God, you know, you're really good at this. Would you ever consider teaching or leading workshops? And so I started doing that. And then people started asking me, would you ever work one-on-one with me and help me find my dream or listen to my instincts? And by the way, when I first started this, coaching wasn't even a career, you know, and so my legal mind was going, okay, is this legal? You know, like I'm not a therapist. This is legal, and I'm thinking, well, they have money, and I don't, so I'm calling it legal. You know, so I just started working with people individually, and it grew and it grew and it grew, and thank God coaching became a profession.
It did.
So literally one thing led to another.
But in the moments when you, and I love that you say that you choose comfort in the moment, not comfort for a lifetime. So really you're looking at this moment to moment, is this okay? Is this okay? Is this okay? Is that what you were?
Yes.
Is that how you did
and,
it?
And actually, what I write about in the book about that is that in some ways, it's both. So you're right. It is about really listening to what I am to do in this moment. But sometimes what I am to do in this moment, so to speak, isn't that comfortable, right? You know, is a little scarier. Mm. And so what I'm wanting people to do is choose comfort, the comfort of their lifetime, rather than just the comfort of a moment, as in like staying in your easy chair because it's comfortable, you know. And so if you make a shift in this moment, you will have it for the rest of your life. If you speak your truth to your husband, even though it's uncomfortable in a moment, you will have it for your whole lifetime. If I dared to write for a little bit and I went past my own self-judgments, my own self-attack, it was uncomfortable in the moment, but I learned a lesson for my whole lifetime. And so that's what I'm asking people to do, is that it's worth it to be a little bit uncomfortable. You know, we're talking about becoming infinitely alive. And also, like, again, going back to what you started us off with, is that we are living in uncomfortable times. The uncertainty is going to happen anyway. Mm-hmm. Let's choose where we want to go with it. Let's choose the thing that's calling you or speaking to you or that you know you need to do. Just a tiny step. I'm not even talking about your whole life, but just a tiny step.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was geologist Greg Braden who says change is the new normal, and it's true because it is definitely the extremes that are the new normal, as he talks about in terms of weather patterns. So if you look at it in our lives, I mean, it's mirroring the same thing, and the pace that business is going through, it's definitely change, extremes.
That's such a great point. And also, you know, one of the things that also made me really start exploring this topic more was because I think we're all guilty of this. I know I am. And I use like all my clients and students as like my guinea pigs, you know, like I see what's going on in their life and I think, okay. So one of the things that I see constantly is that we all think if I get over there, I'll be safe. When that check comes in, I'll be okay. When I meet the man of my dreams, I'll be okay. When I get rid of this guy, I'll be okay. When I lose 10 pounds, I'll be okay. We are always thinking that we're going to thrive somewhere else and sometime else and someplace in the future. And I know that it's about thriving here and now, because that's where the spiritual life is, and that's where the awakened life is, and that's where the conscious life is. It's only here, right? Mm-hmm. And I, like I said, I'm equally guilty of this. I've had to learn, how do I really thrive now and really be here in the present and open up and awaken, because that's what creates your future. This present moment is what's creating your future, and we're all putting off our happiness and our well-being. So the part of you that's going, oh, well, if I could just get through this time, then I'll be okay. If I could just get through this, I'll be okay. Because it's almost like there's part of us that's lying to us and always putting our future happiness somewhere else.
Well, what about when you do take that leap and you make these brave moves, and then something happens, like a death or a bankruptcy, I mean, a lawsuit, so to speak.
Yes.
What happens?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, so again, you know, I used to think that the spiritual life was like some kind of insurance plan, you know, like I'm being a good little doobie, you know, I'm journaling and I'm meditating, so nothing bad is ever going to happen to me, you know, and that has not been the case.
Nope.
And again, my whole point in thriving through uncertainty is that we thrive through anything. Thriving is not about holding off our lives or saying, I'm never going to go through a bankruptcy, I'm never going to face a death, I'm never going to face an illness, I'm never going to face a divorce. It's more about, how do I thrive no matter what? And so one of the chapters I have in the book somewhere is that your response to your life is your life. Right? Your response to your life is your life. And so, again, one of the hugest things I've had to do in this work is that it's like that inner narrator we all have. Like, you can either be listening to the voice of fear inside you or the voice of love. And that voice of fear is telling you, this is terrible, this is horrible, you know, this is the worst thing ever, and you're doomed because of this, and you're a loser because of this. And the voice of love would never, ever, ever be saying that. And if I were working with you, I would be telling you, there are no bad circumstances. There are no bad circumstances. I will not look at it that way. I'm human. Of course, I do look at it that way. But my practice is really about more, how do I use this uncertainty to thrive? How do I use this uncertainty? And so I've taught A Course in Miracles, which is a spiritual study program. You may know. So I've taught it for like 30 years. So it infiltrates everything I do and think and breathe. And, you know, one of the concepts it has that I find so helpful is when somebody's, let's say, like you said, going through a really hard thing like a bankruptcy, or they took a leap and now they're being sued, or a death, or a diagnosis you didn't want. The one of my go-to lessons that helps me, because the pain is not what's happening. The pain is not the diagnosis. diagnosis. The pain is not the bankruptcy. The pain is the story you're telling yourself and those racing thoughts and that anxiety and being in the future. And one of my go-to thoughts from A Course in Miracles is, I don't know what anything means. I don't know what anything means.
Right.
I don't know what this means. I don't know. I need to just be here because my mind is spinning out of control. I'll do that with the stupidest things. You know, somebody doesn't get back to me on email for 3 seconds. You know, I'm spinning this way. They hate me. They hate my guts.
But there's bigger things. There's like, you know, when maybe your loved one commit suicide and you thought you could do something about it and you live with that, or the death of a child, which doesn't make any sense in the universe. When these things you really just live with, it takes more than just self-talk to get over those.
Yes.
You know, and so when you have that moment, I know that you've got a great way of looking at it when things, I like this, when you're falling apart, is really what's falling together.
Mm-hmm.
But when some of that stuff is really irreversible.
It is irreversible to one point of the story or to one part of the story, right? Of, you know, to that tragedy of, but again, I think that we are each being tasked with birthing a new identity or evolving or taking everything we're going through and making the next part of our life around that. So I'm not ever saying this is easy or diminishing this in any way, and it doesn't mean that you might not need to do some, you know, very deep therapy or healing or, you know, see professionals that way. But what I would say is that, you know, like you said, reference the part in the book that says what's falling apart is what's falling together. Just using my own example, I got to the point of wanting to commit suicide.
Yeah.
You know, like I was sitting on a beach in Northern California watching these waves and thinking, I don't know what to do anymore. I don't belong here. I don't know that I want to live anymore. And I truly was thinking of taking my life. And my whole world was falling apart because everything I'd worked for my entire life to, you know, to be this prestigious lawyer, to be get acceptance from my family, you know, all of that was just crashing down.
Mm-hmm.
And it even seemed like my fault, right? You know, like it was like because I couldn't cope and because I couldn't function. And yet, now I can tell you it's what was falling together because I created a different life out of that. And so God forbid the parent who loses a child, maybe that person becomes an advocate for, you know, in the medical community against that particular disease or that particular cause, or, you know, you think of the MAD, you know, the Mothers Against Drunk Driving, you know, of there's ways to find meaning and hope and peace no matter what we're going through.
Mm. Well, you do teach those steps, and I like that you make it practical. So someone comes to you and they say, I really want to take this leap of faith. I have no reason why. It's following my passion, my dream. Where is their first step? Where do they start?
So great, great question. And you know, one thing I do want to clarify, that leap of faith, you know, I tell my story just because that's what I did. But I never, in any of my work, I never have it being prescriptive of, and this is the formula, and this is what you need to do. The one thing I absolutely 100 billion% know is that every single person has their own path. They have their own inner brilliance, and that's all I'm ever trying to get them to do. So, for example, like when you said, what's the first step? You know, for a lot of people, it's not about leaving a job or about leaving their marriage. They might just be doing something on the side, you know. So, like, in that setting, let's say they wanted to find what they loved or their calling I would say go take a pottery class on Wednesday nights. You know, like don't just leap off a job to become a potter, you know? Like just let's explore it, because one thing I know, you mentioned changing your brain chemistry, and that's absolutely true. If you do something you love right now, it will give you more faith than anything else in this world. If you do something you love, it will change your brain chemistry. It will get you connected to your heart and to your guidance or to your vibration or whatever you want to call it. thinking about it is one thing, right? You know, thinking about maybe someday I'll sing, maybe someday I'll write, maybe someday I'll volunteer and do X, and actually taking a tiny step, it will fill you with so much hope and vision and love. And so, again, my point in that is I don't know the form for each person. Some people really might need to take a major leap. Some people might need to just take a tiny leap and do it on the side. Some people might find what they absolutely love right where they are. They might learn a new way to do it in their work or in their marriage. And so, again, the only step I really, really care about is listening to your deeper inner voice. That's what I really care about because, like I said, there is a path already inside you, and I want you to follow it moment by moment.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love this phrase. You say you have to stop figuring it out and start letting it out. And I say that all the time. I've got to figure this out. I've got to figure this out. I've got to figure this out. And I was in a Marianne Williamson lecture once. And she said, you've got to remove those words from your vocabulary. And it made so much sense to me at the time. Yeah, I kept saying it. But now at least I'm aware of it a little
now
bit.
Now we know
more.
It at least.
Yeah, now I'm aware, which is great because first step in solving anything is awareness. And then you get to the level of, okay, so if I say figuring it out means I'm putting it into the future, it's not happening, I have not solved this in this moment, and I'm working on solving it. Well, I can replace that with doing one thing today and one thing tomorrow and one thing the next day.
Mm-hmm.
That most of us know the solutions and we know what we need or want.
Always.
But it's getting there.
And yes.
That's the hard part.
And to your point, and the reason when I say I want you to stop figuring it out and I want you to start letting it out, it's almost like two different pathways, because when I'm figuring it out from my head, and I'm figuring it out from my mind, and I'm figuring it out from the, quote, known world, the world I think I know, you know, of that. And again, I'm much more interested in a creative, inspired path for everyone, the world you don't know, the world that you're going to give birth to, the energy that you're going to bring to the table. And so letting it out is from a different part of you. It's from your heart. It's from your joy. So many times people will tell me, oh, God, Tim, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't know what my path is, and I don't know what I love. And usually I know when people are saying that, they do know what they love. They just don't know how, right? They don't know how to get there. So then because they don't know how, they just immediately stop. They think, well, that's not practical then. And I know it's crazy, and believe me, I'm a very active mind, you know, so I have to work with this myself of, you know, we have to stop asking how, right? There's a beautiful book title that says the answer to how is yes. You know, it's just saying yes to who you are and yes to what you really want. Because people start compromising what they think they want based on what they think they can have. And again, figuring it out is from the mind. This is not a mental path. This is not a rational path. This is an inspired path. And it's very rational. It makes a lot of sense. It's very logical. You can pay your bills with it. I'm not saying that. But it comes from a different resource within you. You have this guidance. You have this strength. You have this higher intelligence that is here. You know, I always tell my clients, you're not here to make it in the world. You're here to remake the world. You're here to remake the world with your gifts and your love and your intelligence and your creativity. And so for me, it's always when your head is spinning, but I don't know how, you know, to your point, like just do one small little thing. Like if I were going to do one tiny little thing right now, but taking one little breadcrumb right now, that's all you need to do. That's everything.
Well, it can also be with just yourself. If it involves other people and that's scary, then you can maybe just start with yourself. And you recommend writing it out in a journal. You did that, right?
Yes. Oh, I'm militant about this. I have a technique that is my go-to technique, and it's in Thriving Through Uncertainty. It's called the Inspired Self Dialogues. It's also on my website if you want to download it there, at tamikeeves.com. But it's called the Inspired Self Dialogues, and it's a technique I use for journaling to really get in touch with, well, what is that inspired voice saying? Or what would that wisdom be? Because, again, sometimes you think, well, I don't hear any wisdom, or I don't have an answer. I just hear my fears, and I just hear my anxiety. And so what I do is I journal, and I write from my fears. I write, like, I'm never going to make it. It's never going to happen. You know, I'm going to run out of money. I'm going to be homeless. I'm going to, you know, all the junk that, you know, my brain can dump out. And then I write back from what I imagine my highest, loving, strongest self would say. And, you know, for me, I imagine it's, you know, the voice of a spiritual voice or teacher, if you have one of, you know, if you have a religion you believe in or a spiritual path you believe in, maybe it's that voice. Many people find it helpful to think in terms of what would you say to your best friend or to your child if they had this fear.
Yep, their advice. There's a great part in your book, Thriving Through Uncertainty, that says, it takes an act of mutiny to step into your destiny. These are turning points to become your own comfort zone. I love, you've got a great way with words. But it takes an act of mutiny against yourself.
Yes. It does.
You have to.
Because, again, we are all trained. We're good little doobies, and we're trained to do what we're told and follow the path and don't shake the boat. And, you know, it is an act of mutiny to step into your destiny. And the biggest way that you do that, if you take nothing else out of what I'm saying, I think for me, the biggest thing I've had to learn over and over and over is it's letting go of self-judgment. It's letting go of self-judgment. It's letting go of self-judgment, because you can't hear self-judgment and guidance at the same time. You cannot hear the voice of guidance.
Really?
No.
I'm pretty good at that.
You can go back and forth. You can go back and forth. But if you're judging the hell out of yourself in that moment, you can't hear guidance. You know, when you're hearing guidance, you're not hearing self-judgment.
You're either or.
It's either like or. I mean, like, and to your point, you can go back and forth pretty quickly.
Yeah.
I can.
Yep. Done that.
But in the moment that I'm hearing a self-attack or self-judgment, I'm not open to what a deeper love would be saying. Love can't come through.
I don't know. Let's break this down a little bit, because I can say to myself, all right, I know what I have to do, and I really need to get there, but there is no way I'm going to change this whole entire structure. But wait, I know, get back on the train, but there is just how – block after block after block. It doesn't. I'm not getting anywhere. That's like a train going forwards, backwards, forward, backwards, forwards, backwards.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm not getting anywhere. So how do you spend more time in the forward than you do in the backwards?
I think it really is this training to decide which voice inside yourself you're going to listen to. Because the way that you know which voice is helpful to you is the tone of it. You know, is the feeling of it, of how it makes you feel. My loving voice might still say something that I need to do or I need to face a fear, but it will make me feel peaceful. And so I think most of us go back and forth and back and forth, but I've learned more and more that voice that's scary, like, for instance, I'll give you a perfect example that many people hear. Many people feel this sense of urgency, like, I've got to do this, I've got to do this, oh my God, I've got to do this, or I'm getting older now and I really better get on this, or, you know. Urgency is not of your spirit. It's not of your soul. So urgency is fear. It's telling you you're doing something wrong. My inner voice might say, dear one, let's do it now, but it's a different tone. It's not that fear. It's not that compulsive energy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you just start paying attention, which is not easy. This is a lifelong practice. But it's amazing.
The tone that you're talking to yourself in to say, okay, be a little more gentle, but let's just try this step.
Exactly. Yeah. Uh-huh. Because the beauty of it, here's the payoff of it. It's not just that you're nice to yourself. God forbid. Like, God forbid. God forbid that would be the result alone. My God, that would be too terrible for most of us. But you know, it's not just kindness. It's that, because for me, I had to walk myself through every single fear. You know, when I was writing my first book, I didn't have a publisher or an agent or a contract or anything. And I had to work with my fears constantly. And the beautiful thing about listening to that kindness is you might make a different choice than you would have made in the past. And it opens up a whole new world, you know, of, you know, just a quick story on that of, I spent 12 years writing that first book because I think it took me 12 years to heal and 12 years to trust all of this and 12 years to do what we're talking about, and I think a lot of people who are on this kind of path, if things are taking a long time, it's because we're working on so many levels at once. We are learning a new way to breathe and live that's different than we've been taught. But I finally got this inner instinct to self-publish the book. I literally heard a voice that just said, put it in the river. Just put it in the river, my first book. And it was terrifying to think about doing that. And I finally did it. And 4 months after I self-published, I got an email out of the blue from that literally said, "Your fairy godmother has arrived." Mm-hmm. And if you get an email like that, you know, most of us are going to think it's spam, right? That it's Russian girls are waiting for you or something. but it was from a vice president of marketing and publicity for Random House. Mm-hmm. And she was going through a career transition herself, and she somehow found my self-published book that I had moment by moment coaxed myself into writing through every rejection, through every obstacle, through every fear and anxiety, and finally into self-publishing it. And she wrote to me and said, "This is the best book I've ever read on finding your calling. I love this book. I want to take it to a major house." And she got it to the New York publisher I'd always wanted, you know, which is Tarcher, part of Penguin and Random House. And they bought that book, and they bought that book exactly the way it was. They kept the exact title, the exact writing. As an unknown writer, I would never have started off at the level I started off at had I done it a conventional, traditional mm-hmm. way. And then they bought my second book, they bought my third book, and now they've just put out Thriving Through Uncertainty. And, so that's when I always say you can't plan an inspired life. How could you plan? You know, I'm going to have a meltdown for 12 years. Mm-hmm. Some other woman's going to have a meltdown. At the end of 12 years, we're going to hook up. And that was my business plan. but that's what I mean about that self-kindness. Because I was kind to myself and I coaxed myself every step of the way, I opened up another world that I would never have experienced if I had listened to my harshness.
Do you think that, okay, so you're saying that you might have attracted that to yourself, but, or I should say, and the situations that I've run into, like redoing the whole website and then the web company disappears, or expecting to move into an office space and the deal goes away or falls through. Things that you are, that seemingly feel out of your control.
Yes.
Do you feel that that's something that you're, or I would be, I was attracting or am attracting?
You know, and when I say, you know, like for me, it wasn't even so much that I was saying I attracted that, even, you know, that is one. That's certainly a valid interpretation, too. But I was just saying I gave myself that opportunity. I opened up to that. I mean, like, I showed up. That's all I'm ever trying to do is make people. I show up in my life. I can't control what happens or doesn't happen, but I can control how much I'm willing to show up and give myself a chance. I gave myself that chance by putting my own energy and love into it for 12 years and writing it and then putting my own money into it and putting it out. I showed up, right? But to your point of, you know, when something happens like, you know, I'm showing up to do a website and then the website, the company goes away or the office space doesn't work out, mm-hmm. you know, it's frustrating. You know, I have had a million things like that in my life too, you know, and I will tell myself that somehow, and again, I'm practicing Course in Miracles, you know, somehow this is in my best interests. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
Somehow this is in my best interest. If I didn't tell myself that, I would go crazy and I might kill somebody. So
well,
that alone
I mean, I was
going to
ask you,
interest.
Does the lawyer mind ever come in where, like, maybe the contract
is broken?
And by
the way, that doesn't mean I wouldn't take an action in the world, you know, like, I mean,
if somebody,
you know, like, harmed me or violated me or whatever, I'm going to take every action in the world to have peace of mind myself and to come from love. But that doesn't mean I wouldn't also take care of myself or respect myself or do what was appropriate, you know. So mm-hmm. it's both, you know. But again, my whole point is many of us use those things to stop ourselves. Well, I guess it's not supposed to work out. The
right.
website didn't work out, so I guess my dream isn't real. Oh, well, that office space didn't happen, so this is just too hard. And I feel that way. Oh, my God, I have felt that way. But, you know, my whole point in Thriving Through Uncertainty is how do you show up anyway?
Right.
Because this is your life. Don't shut down your dream. Mm-hmm. Don't shut down your love. Don't shut down your possibilities because of something that happened. And again, we all know stories where one job didn't work out and thank God it did. I mean, mm-hmm. I live in a house right now that I love my house. And I got it because the house I really wanted didn't work out.
Mm.
So it's a perfect example.
Mm-hmm. So it does happen, and you look towards... This has happened enough times in my life where I start to say, okay, let's find another possibility. Let's find, but not to say I'm still not frustrated, you know, spending ton of money on the website company that just disappears.
Oh, God.
You know, that can happen because a lot of these companies are virtual these days.
Oh, God.
Or seemingly.
See, and now you at least have told all that, told all of us that, so we can at least benefit. Thank you, Lisa. Thank you for taking on that lesson for us.
Well, I mean, it's an interesting world that we live in. I mean, this company had an office and a person there and a space, but then disappears, you know. And so it is a sign of the times. We do live with constant change. We do live through uncertainty. Who knows? Maybe this person.
And what I would say,
is
that even though that is challenging and that is difficult and frustrating, of course, and you're going to do whatever you need to do to take care of it, you will not be stopped. There is something in you that is so great and so alive and so guided. You cannot be stopped. A form might be stopped, a particular way, a particular circumstance, but I don't let it stop that force in me of that I. Thank God, do not rely on the outside circumstances to be the source of my power.
True.
You know, same thing like you, you know, my publishing mm-hmm. company, you know, my publicist in the publishing company left and the emails are bouncing back. So people are trying to get a hold of me and not getting a hold of me, you know, and
Common.
Frustrating.
Mm-hmm. Very common. But yeah. It's interesting. So I like the fact that you're addressing this because mm-hmm. there are so many examples. We could spend all day talking about all the things that have gone wrong mm-hmm. and can go wrong. And we can look at that as an opportunity, a window. And that phrase, that old adage, when one door closes, another one opens. When one window closes, you don't jump out it. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I usually want to push somebody out that window when they say that, right?
But, okay, so then that's the reality of it. But also, how do you suggest to people who are wanting to make a leap? Well, first of all, you knew you were unhappy, and that was a known, but you didn't know what you wanted.
Exactly.
So how do you suggest people creating something they don't yet know how to create or attracting mm-hmm. that? Like you said, take mm-hmm. a pottery class, take something, but... something else beyond that to really make a brave choice. What do you do?
You know, I think it is just that consistent path of experimenting, you know, because we are all, I hate to say it, but we're all kind of lying to ourselves in some ways, you know, I was in therapy for years going, I don't know what I want. I don't know what I want. Just tell me. And he would say, well, you know, you said you'd like to write. And I'd be like, yeah, but what am I going to do with my life? You know, I just like completely ignore that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd realize, okay, this is getting expensive to ignore myself every week.
Yeah.
So I think that the biggest thing that I would say is two things. One, I really would practice, again, it's not even so much what you do. It's what, like I said earlier, it's what you undo, that undoing the beliefs. I would start practicing not judging yourself, not judging what you hear. So, I'll give you a perfect example. When I'm leading an Unleashing Your Calling retreat, right, and this exact thing comes up, right, we follow moment by moment. But what sometimes happens in the moment is not that you're given this brilliant new idea, like go forth and start a new Google, you know, or go mm-hmm. forth and do this. Many times the next step, like if you had asked me what I really, really wanted when I was practicing law, I would have told you if I could do anything and money wasn't an issue and blah, blah, blah. You know what I really want? I want a nap. I'm tired.
Yeah.
And so I have a chapter in my first book called The Year of Sleeping Dangerously because that's really, and Thriving Through Uncertainty covers that a lot also about the undoing process that, let's keep in mind, this isn't just a path of finding out what you love and what you dream of. It's also a path of healing. It's a path of the beliefs that come up. So your first step, if I were asking, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? You might want to do nothing.
Yeah.
You might want to just have some time off. Mm-hmm. That's your first step.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. You mentioned that you do retreats, Unleashing Your Calling retreats. What do you do in the retreats, and how come you found out?
I have Unleashing Your Calling retreats, and I have a new one, Thriving Through Uncertainty retreat, coming up at Omega, August 10th through the 12th is the next one. But in both of those retreats, both Unleashing Your Calling and in Thriving Through Uncertainty, the main thing I do is I help people uncover their own inspired roadmap, right? So I am not an expert that lays out, here's the formula, here's the 8 rules, here's the da-da-da. I mean, I really work individually with people. My gift is that I create a space that's really, really safe and really, really sacred, and so that you could really start listening to what's true for you. And so I answer all these kinds of questions that you and I are talking about, but we work individually. You know, like, we do a lot of different exercises. I get you working with other people to really start listening to what's my next step, what's my next shift. And I love the retreat space. I do them all over the country, and I love them because, first of all, I attract extraordinary people, so that alone is just phenomenal. It's just coming for the people, and you find incredible support and incredible love. But there's something that happens when you get together in that space, in a time out of your life, in a time out of normal circumstances, and you have a guide, you know, and guidance and instruction and exercises, and that you just get shifts that you sometimes can't get alone in your room, you know. And so It's just really exciting. And I deeply believe more and more, again, because of the crazy times we live in, I think we need to gather more and more. I think we need to meet each other more and more. So like I said, the next one I have going on is August 10th through the 12th at Omega Institute, which is it's 90 minutes from New York City, and it's gorgeous.
Now, your website is Tama Keeves, KIEVES.com, and it's TAMAKIEVES.com. The name of the book is Thriving Through Uncertainty. And are there other – the book has a lot of great ways to be able to teach you. At the end of every chapter, there are try this at home, jump starts, inquiries, and exercises. So it's a very nice addition to this, where you really add a lot of practical advice in here. I love this. Do a stay awake daily check-in. So how often do you, like, pass out when you're trying to figure something out? I think I'm going to meditate.
Yeah, exactly.
It's over. That's what happens to me sometimes when I'm in denial about some things. But It's, you know, sometimes hard to be your own coach. But it's possible.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, so what is a technique that you can recommend for someone who's going through change, and you have turning points and stuff like that in your book as well, a try-at-home exercise that can help you in a turning point?
You know, I think the first thing I would say is, you know, again, I'm just a total fan of the inspired self-dialogue, the thing I was mentioning before. And that is on my website. You can download that for free. I believe.
Nice.
I may be lying now that I'm saying that. No, I'm pretty sure it's there. The other technique that I use a lot, especially because people are so ambitious and they feel like they're not making progress and it's not happening and they're not moving fast enough and they don't know what to be doing, I use a technique I call the win list. And what the win list is I'll have you write down 5 wins or 10 wins a day. And what a win is like any sign of movement or progress or something that worked out or moving in the right direction. And the really cool thing about the win list is it's not just external things. It's not just like, I called a new client today or I went to the gym today. All of those things would count. But I would love you to consider internal wins, things that you never notice, normally give yourself credit for. So maybe I didn't go to the gym today, but I didn't beat myself up. And like that goes on a win list. I forgave myself. Or maybe I listened to the Lisa Gar show and I got really energized. That goes on a win list, right? Mm-hmm. Of like, again, look, because for me, so much of these changes are internal. We all want these external things of do this step. But if we're not changing that internal relationship with ourselves, it, you know, then the steps don't even work, right? So I've had to work a lot with myself that way. Like, you know, I might even put on a win list. I'm usually depressed for 30 minutes in the morning, but today I was only depressed for 29. Put on a win list.
You got to look at it. Yes, yes. And also see where you've made progress. It helps you track
that. Because you don't realize how much progress you're making. And what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to train you constantly to look at what's working, what's moving, how well you're doing, rather than what's not working, what isn't going there. You know, because again, we are daring to live inspired, incredible lives. These are courageous choices we're talking about, and I want to support you from the inside out.
It's funny you say that, because I was talking with a friend the other day saying, I really feel like I need to take this to the next level, and it's not moving fast enough for me, and I'm so stuck. And then she said, look at what you've accomplished. And I'm like, yeah, mm-hmm. whatever. But I think that...
Yeah, whatever.
And I, you know, that's very common in the tendencies with us type A people that really want to, you know, we have the passion,
constantly.
We have the burning, we have the desire,
yes.
we know how things can be, we see it.
Yes.
And sometimes our physical bodies don't catch up fast enough.
Or it's perfect timing, right? Like my mind will leap ahead and say, oh, I should be doing this, or I should have that, or I should have a million people following me. And I think this, you know, my inner spirit is going, you know, maybe when you're a shred more loving, we'll have a million people following you. But while you're still worried about how you look, maybe not so much. You know, like that a lot of times what I've learned in my own life, I don't like admitting it or acknowledging it, but I've learned that a lot of times my brain is ahead and my spirit knows exactly the right time for everyone else and for me as well.
True, true. And there's another piece that you touch on here is, don't always take that great advice. And there have been times in my life where I'll really be looking for the resources and trying to find the right person, and someone will show up to help, but it's not necessarily the right person. But I put too much faith in it, or I play that victim card with, oh, woe is me, I can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
All. Have you ever noticed
that?
God. Women tend to do that, just say, oh.
Oh, completely. And I wrote about that in Thriving Through Uncertainty because this is like my weak point. Is like I think the chapter is called Think Twice Before You Take Advice,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
because I was so afraid to not take the advice. So particularly in this kind of business, right? You know, everybody's like, well, you need to be blogging. You need to have 8,000 things on social media.
You need to be an online marketer.
This,
yes.
You need to be doing that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, or do a launch, or do a this, or do a that. And my inner voice was telling me not to, or to not work with a certain individual, even though I didn't have another answer. It wasn't like I knew what to do. And it was so scary. But the best thing I've ever done, I mean, and I have to constantly work with it, is to not take advice, to only take advice when it lands for me, when it really feels like, that feels true. That feels right. But to even just say, I'm no longer interested in answering it on my head level to make my brain happy, to make my brain feel like I'm doing something. I want my whole body in it. I want my soul in it. I want it to feel good on every level. And so I've had to learn how to trust myself, which is scary, you know, because I'm saying I'm not going to listen to those experts, even though they're making billions of dollars,
right.
You know, and I'm not. But I'm going to listen to something else. I'm going to listen to my genius. And every time I've done that, it always works out. For me, I did not leave one crazy career to go create another one. I want a seven-figure income of the heart. I want something that is so alive and passionate and making my money from that place. That's what's important to me. Because everybody's talking again about money, and I'm talking about peace of mind and security and something that is irreplaceable, a richness you can't touch. You know, because everybody immediately goes to how much money, but again, that's the old way.
It's interesting. Well, you go, girl. The name of the book is called Thriving Through Uncertainty. Tama Keeves is my guest. Moving beyond fear of the unknown and making change work for you. Great topic. Thank you so much for the book and everything else that you're doing.
So honored. Thank you, Lisa. And thank you for the beautiful work you're doing and for choosing to be the amazing distributor of information that you are. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Follow your passion, girl. All right. And I am Lisa Garr. Until next time, I invite you to stay aware.